which he prepared.
He remembered a poem that someone had once given him that he used as a bookmark in one of his books. Well, at the bottom of that card was the story for how that poem came to be known. On the bottom of his bookmark, this is what was there. It says, "These words were found written on a cell wall in a prison some 200 years ago. It is, whatever the circumstances behind it, he wrote them on the wall of his prison cell. In due time, that prisoner died, and the men who had the job of repainting his cell were impressed by the words. So before they repainted it and covered the words, one of the painters jotted down the poem, and thus they were preserved." Well, amazingly, the poem that Lehman remembered fit the melody of his song perfectly. And he had found his third verse. Here are the three verses in the chorus to that song. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. This guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary times shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song." This song, the love of God, while the words are rich and full of meaning, skim the surface of the subject and only highlights the immeasurable wonders of God's love. As we exegete 1 John 3, 1 through 3, reflect on the provision of God's love and respond to what God's love has done, is doing, and will continue to do in your life. Notice with me, if you would, the provision of God's love. The provision of God's love. Opening the subject, John commands us to take a fresh look at the love of God. He opens this chapter with the word, "Behold." That word is an imperative verb, which simply means to understand. John is calling upon us to take a look at God's love so that we might come to understand it, so we might come to comprehend it. He essentially tells us to look at God's love, to reflect on it, and to respond as we come to a better understanding to what God's love has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. He continues with that statement, "What manner of?" Behold, what manner of? When this verse, or that word, first came into use, it was a probing word to ask people of what nation or of what race they were. You might think of it as when I flew to Honduras last February to spend some time with Jerry and his family there and landed in Honduras. As I went through customs, I had to make some declarations and present my visa to them. When I flew back to the United States after having been there for about a week and landed in the airport, the first thing I had to do coming off the plane was go through the customs again here in the United States, present my visa and my ID, and make some declarations to them as they questioned me about who I was, where I was coming from, where I was going, what I'd been doing. This word, what manner of, was used in that type of a sense originally. It came, though, as it evolved, to be an investigative word, to ask of what sort or what quality something was. John calls upon us to take a fresh look at the Word of God, at the love of God, to reflect on God's love, to think about it, so that we might come to better understand of what sort of love God's love is, of what sort of quality God's love is. Well, can I ask you, how can you compare God's love? What would you say God's love is like? I would imagine that everyone here today, everyone listening by way of our internet stream, has been in a loving relationship of some kind during your lifetime. You consider any type of a loving relationship you've ever had. It might be a spouse's love, the relationship that is there between a man and his wife. It may be a parental love, the love that is there from a parent to a child. You remember being a child and the expressions and the demonstrations of your parents' love to you, even if during that time you weren't as appreciative of it as you are now. You think now of being a parent, those of you who are, in the love that you have for your children. You think, the young people here, the love perhaps that you have for your parents, or the love that you have for a sibling or a close friend, or a love that you may even have for some object or some possession. You think of any loving relationship that you have had in your life, and what that loving relationship brought to your life. But friends, can I tell you today that whatever you may think of in your mind, whatever you may begin to picture in your mind as far as loving relationships that you've had in your life, nothing compares to the loving relationship that our Father God bestows upon us as children. One said it this way: there is no love like His. His love is eternal, for He loves with an everlasting love. His love is unconditional. Two, it is incomprehensible, for we cannot plumb its depths, nor scale its heights, nor measure its length, nor encompass its breadth. It is the love that drew salvation's plan, the love that took Calvary in its stride, and from which no power on earth, in hell beneath, nor in heaven above, can separate us. That is the love of God. And John tells us to take a fresh look, to consider what manner of love, but as we try, as we consider it, as we think about it, as we try to compare it to any other loving relationships that we've ever experienced or that we even have now, we begin to recognize there is nothing that we can compare it to. There's nothing that we can liken it to. How can we even begin to understand? How can we even begin to reflect upon and come to a better comprehension of His love? There is nothing known in this world to which we can compare it. His love, which He lavishes on us, is not of this world. It is more extravagant, more encompassing, more extensive, more enduring than we can even begin to comprehend. And yet, we are commanded in this passage of Scripture to take a look, to reflect on and consider the love of God. So would you, for a little while this morning, reflect on God's love with me? As we consider the provision of God's love, would you mark down first of all that God's love sought us? My friend, if you want to begin to understand and reflect on God's love for just a little bit, I think it is so important that we first begin to think about the reality that God's love sought us. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." God's love sought us. This past Thursday morning, Stephanie served at our local pregnancy center for the first time in many weeks. We had had some issues of being around folks with the virus, and so they asked her not to come in for a time, and then we went on vacation, and they told her when people travel, they ask them to not come in for 2 weeks and all of that. So it had been a while, but Stephanie went back this past Thursday for the first time in many weeks. She and one of the staff members had an appointment at the center with an abortion-minded client. This client has a very difficult life situation. Several children already in her home. She's already undergone an abortion of a previous pregnancy. She recently tested positive for pregnancy, and she testified that she's already asked God to forgive her for what she was about to do with her current pregnancy. When asked why she did not immediately call or visit the facility where she had previously had an abortion procedure, she said she didn't know. She just Googled and found the pregnancy center's information and made an appointment and came. The client gave Stephanie and the staff member permission to share the gospel with her, and as she prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior, she broke down, she wept, and she grieved during her prayer so that she could not continue praying for a time. But when she composed herself, she finished praying, and they rejoiced that she was born again into the family of God. She was now and would forevermore be His child. But here's what I found so amazing about the story as Stephanie shared it with me. She'll be returning to the center soon because though she tested positive for pregnancy at home, they ran two tests at the center and both of them came back negative. I do not know what will happen when she tests again, but I know why she tested positive at home. I know why she didn't go back to the previous facility that she had used previously, even if she doesn't know the answer herself. Do you know why? Friends, listen, it's because God's love sought her out. She may not have known what was going on, even known why she was looking for another option. She may not have even known why all that had happened. They may not have even understood why she would test one way at home and then come to the center and test the other way twice. I'll tell you why. It's because God's love sought her out. God in His love seeks us out because we are lost and condemned to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. God's love seeks us out because in loving grace, He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary in our place. The Father wants to be my Father. He wants to make me His son. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Friends, this is a love that He has demonstrated, a love He has poured out on all of humanity. He is the Father. But the question for us today is, do you know Him as your Father? Can you say of God today, not just that He is a Father, not just that He is a loving Heavenly Father, not just that He is the Father, but can today you say of God, He is my Father? In a Danish work entitled Letters from Hell, the author penned letters as if they were correspondence from people already in hell. The work depicts the suffering and loss as well as the thoughts of those damned to spend eternity there. One such letter that this author in his thoughts penned out read these words. So it's the words of someone wandering around in hell. Was there not something in vanished time, he asks, something that was called the Lord's Prayer, beginning Our Father? A well of blessing to those who open their hearts to it? Surely I seem to remember, but yet vainly I try to recall the sacred words. They seem to be hovering about seas, though I must needs but say Our Father, and all the rest must follow. I set out to say it, but never get beyond the Our Father. I sometimes repeated these words 10, 20, 50 times, but it is quite hopeless. They are empty and meaningless. I just remembered that there is a Father, but that He is not my Father, and I am not His child. Yet I cannot refrain from racking my spirit with the once blessed words, "My soul is thirsty for their comfort, but I can find no drop of water to cool my tongue." Friends, can I ask you this morning again, is God the Father or is He my Father to you? This extravagant love, which is beyond our ability to imagine, the Father has lavished on us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He's offered it and given it to us freely so that we might be called the sons of God. God does not just want to be the Father. He wants to be your Father. He wants you to be able to say in your life, not just that God is a Father, but that He is my Father. And He proved it. He demonstrated it because His love has sought you out. He invites you to come into His family, and He has done everything that is necessary to bring you into His family. Will you respond to His love? He offers you the free gift that His love has provided. Salvation through Jesus Christ, who died in your place on the cross. It is through receiving this free gift by believing in Jesus that you can become a child of God, and He will no longer be just the Father to you, but He will be my Father to you. John chapter 1 in verse number 12 declares these words, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the Bible declares, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." God has done all that is necessary to bring you into His family, to make you a son or a daughter of God. He has lavished His extravagant love upon you. He demonstrated it. He proved it when Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. All you need do is accept the free gift. That's all. Accept the free gift. He offers it to you. He invites you. I imagine there may be someone sitting in this auditorium today listening by way of the internet, and maybe you even wonder why you've come to this place. Maybe you wonder how you found us online and why you're even now taking the time to listen in. You've not received Jesus Christ. The invitation is given. Come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has sought you out. His love has brought you to this place at this time. His love has done all of it so that you might have the opportunity to become His son or daughter by believing on Christ. And in case you didn't know it, He is a good, good Father. So if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come and receive Him even now. His love has sought you out. He wants you to become His child. How about you, though, child of God? You who have already responded to His free gift of salvation through Christ. You who have believed in Jesus, having paid the penalty for your sin at Calvary, been buried and rose again. You've trusted in Him as your Savior. You're a child of God. John, as he's writing, certainly there is an invitation that is applicable for someone to become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But this passage is not addressed to unbelievers, it's addressed to believers. Certainly I can take this address and show you the love of God, which is greater far than human tongue or pen could ever tell, the songwriter said. And invite you to come and receive the gift of his love, salvation through Jesus Christ. But John here is not writing to unbelievers, asking them to come and take a look at the love of God. No, he is writing to those of us who know Jesus Christ, those of us who have believed on Christ, those of us who have responded to his love and become sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. And he's asking us, he's imploring us, he's instructing us, take a fresh look and reflect on God's love. So would you take a fresh look at God's love today? Would you reflect again on the provision of God's love? How God's love sought you out and what his love has already done in your life? Friends, do you remember the experience of God's love seeking you out? Do you remember how that when you came to Jesus Christ as your Savior, as a young child, a young boy, a young girl, as an adult man, an adult lady, someone in the middle stage of life, perhaps you came to Jesus Christ as an older individual. I've seen people saved at all ages, at all times and stages of life. Do you remember, though, whenever it was for you, how that at that time when you trusted God, Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's love sought you out, how it was God who took the first step, how it was God who initiated and invited there to be a relationship with him, how it was God who had already done everything that was necessary for you to receive that free gift of salvation, and he invited you, and when you came to Jesus Christ, he didn't ask you to do anything, he didn't ask you to buy anything, he didn't ask you to reserve anything, he didn't ask you to accomplish some work or some pioneering trip. No, when you came and you accepted that gift, it was a free gift that was offered to you only because he loved you and he sought you out. His love has made you a child of God. Friends, when you read 1 John chapter 3, as I did earlier this week, you're confronted with the truth that all that John writes about in these opening verses of this chapter, all is a product of the truth that God loves you. You're not a son or a daughter of God because of who you are. His love has made you a child of God. He has freely given you in loving grace a position, a place, a prestige in his family. You've been made a son or a daughter of God. You've been made a child of the King. You've been made a child of the Creator of the universe. Not only a child. He's not given you some lower rank or lower privilege as anybody else. He has made you an heir, yea, a joint heir with his only begotten Jesus Christ. There's coming a day when you will rule and reign with him. He's already given you that place. Do you know today that you are absolutely unworthy, and yet how absolutely blessed you are? That God would love us so much amazes and astonishes us. In the work Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis imagines the communication between a senior devil named Screwtape, not really sure where he came up with that name, it's interesting, and a junior devil named Wormwood. This portion of the book is all about these these communications back and forth between the senior supervising devil and the junior employee devil. Please don't read anything into your current work situation. That's not the point. But in the midst of their correspondence, Screwtape, the supervising senior devil, revealed that the devil's and demon's tasks were made more difficult because of the enemy, their name for God. You see, Wormwood's job, the junior devil, he had been tasked with leading a human soul safely to hell for all of eternity. And he was looking for help. He was looking for suggestions from the senior supervising devil, Screwtape. And he said, well, our enemy, God, he makes the task more difficult because, quote, he has a curious fantasy of making all these disgusting little human vermin into sons. You know, the language that C.S. Lewis uses, putting the words in this senior devil's mouth in this work, are not off base. In reality, we all are disgusting little human vermin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to his own way. Yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. While a source of anguish for those spirits of darkness that God loves us enough to regenerate us and put us into his family, it is a source of wonder and worship for us. Child of God, do you remember that it was you on the path of eternal damnation in the lake of fire? Look back to your past. No matter at what age or stage you came to Jesus Christ as your Savior, no matter how much bad, how much wickedness you had done between the time of your birth into this world until that time that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were on a path of condemnation for all of eternity in the lake of fire. Do you remember the time in your life where you could not call God my Father? Do you remember that it was not your worthiness, your works, or your willpower that made you a child of God? No, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then verse number 13 says these words, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not because of your worthiness, your works, or your willpower that you've been made a child of God. Do you recall how it was the Father in his extravagant love that sought you out, that freely, graciously, lovingly offered you salvation, and by salvation, sonship, so that he could be my Father? It was not you at all. It was all because God, in his love, sought you out. I am overcome today, not by how good I am. I am overcome today, not by how good you are. I am overwhelmed today that God is good, that he is my Father, that I am his son. This I can claim today only because his love sought me out. If God is your Father, if you're a child of God, my friend, wonder today. Stand in awe of him today. Worship him today. Because when you think about his love for just a little while, you'll be overwhelmed again at the extravagant love of God that sought you out. Behold, take a fresh look. Consider, think about, reflect upon what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, the provision of his love. God's love sought us. Well, I have two main points and eight total subpoints for this message. And we've looked only at the first subpoint of the first main point. Don't worry. We're going to stop there for today, for this morning. And God willing, continue with the message tonight. But we're challenged by this passage to reflect on the provision of God's love. And also the prompting of God's love. And respond to what God's love has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. And so far, we've only looked at a part of what God's love has done. But oh, what a truth it is that God's love sought us out. As you've reflected with me for a little while on the provision of His love, that His love sought you out, how is God leading you to respond today? Perhaps you're the one who cannot say of God, He is my Father, because you've not responded to His offer of salvation made to you because of His love. Will you finally stop running, stop hiding, stop neglecting, stop rejecting, and just admit that His love has sought you? If you're in that place today, whether here or listening online, I can imagine that this isn't the first time you felt the tug of God's love seeking you out. You've probably felt it again and again and again, because God truly is a good, good Father. And His love doesn't just search us out the one time and leave us. No, God in His love continually seeks us out, searches us out to draw us. Stop running. Stop hiding, stop neglecting, stop rejecting, and just give in to God's love that has sought you out. He's inviting you right now to believe in Christ Jesus and become His child. Will you respond? And then how about you, child of God? Perhaps you can say today, God is my Father. Oh, how often we make a statement like that and do not really even stop to pause and wonder and worship at the reality that we could even say, God is my Father. Do you know what it's like to be proud of your dad? Not everybody can say that. Not every person who has a dad can say that they're proud of their dad. But if you're one who can, it's a joy, isn't it? To speak to others about your dad, the person that he is, the love that he pours out on you and has throughout your life. Some of you don't have your dad with you anymore here in this world, and it's a burden in a sense. It's a grievous thing still, and it may have been years past since your dad left this world. But friends, as much joy and as much pride as you might be able to say of that man, this is my dad, how much more shall we feel those emotions and those sensations when we let somebody else know, or when we even stop to think about the reality, God is my Father. He is my Abba, my Daddy. And He's a good, good Father. When's the last time that you reflected on His love and responded to what His love has done in your life? His love sought you out. He made you His child. Will you wonder and worship today at the love of the Father that has been bestowed upon us? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? You've just listened to a 35-minute message on the love of God, and yet all we have done is skim the surface. And still, I would imagine if there is any life in you at all, you've been touched to think about the love of God. I wonder today if there's someone in this auditorium or someone who is listening by way of our internet stream who cannot say of God, He's my Father. God invites you right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sin, was buried, and 3 days later rose again, so that you might be redeemed, so that you might not have to face eternity damned in the lake of fire, but so that you could experience eternity with Him in heaven as His child. If you're that one who cannot say of God, He is my Father, I invite you right now, wherever you are, whatever you may be doing, to call out in faith, believing, and ask Jesus to be your Savior, and He will. He'll make you God's child. For those of you who already know that you're a child of God, that He's your Father, you can say of God, He is my Father. Would you think about it? Would you reflect on it? Would you wonder, stand in awe of Him today and worship at His throne as you think about what God's love has done for you? His love has sought you out. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Right now, the pianist is going to begin playing. If God is speaking to your heart and you want to come find a place at this altar, you want to bow there in your seat and just spend a few moments wondering and worshiping God for the love that sought you out, that made you His child, friend, do so. That's the invitation for you today. If you're already a child of God, maybe you're not a child of God, and you need understanding, you need some guiding in what it means to trust Christ, come, let me know. We'll take the time to share with you from the Word of God how you can know Jesus as your Savior today and be made His child. Let's wonder and worship today at the love of God. Lord, thank You so much for Your Word that has touched our hearts today as we have pondered the love of God. Thank You for seeking us out when we were lost in sin, headed for eternity apart from You. Lord, I thank You today that I can say of You, God, that You are my Father. And I know it's not because of anything special about me, except for the fact that I've received Your free gift of salvation through Christ, and You've made me Your child. You've sent the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption, into my heart. And it's because of You that I can call You Abba Father. Lord, I pray again that if there is someone today who does not know Jesus Christ, that You've spoken to, that You've touched, that You would speak to their hearts. I pray that as the webcast continues to be available, that others would come in contact with it and pause and listen and be touched about their need of Christ. And I pray for those of us who are gathered right here and those of us watching from afar who are your children, that we would never lose the wonder of it all, that we would never cease to worship you because you are our Father. Thank you so much for bringing us to this place today. Take us away safely with your blessing and your work in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.